One, the world is a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And this is another great edition of what we have here and what's trending. Here's another tweet cap, and let us talk about the big things that are taking place in our world from this past week. Ryan is here. What's up, Ryan?
How's it going, Matt? I'm doing all right.
Good to see you, everybody. Ryan celebrated a birthday this past week. It is a birthday week. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh,
Happy
happy belated
birthday to
birthday,
you.
man. I had no idea. Thank you. Yes, it was nice. It was low key, which is how I like it, so that's good. I don't do birthday weeks. I have birthday dinner, and then it's
What
over.
did you
That's
have for birthday dinner?
We ended up getting barbecue, which is very good.
Beautiful
I'm a
to
big
hear.
fan of barbecue, so I'm glad it was a nice time.
And well, if you haven't heard from his voice for the first time in a long time, we have Kevon Cowan coming back. So happy to see you as he was out traveling the world. What's up, Kevon?
What is up, dudes?
Welcome back.
Man.
Welcome back.
Good
So happy to see you, Kevon. Really am. Pleasant
to be
surprise.
back. Good to be back. I
And
survived.
yes, you did. And we will do some shows for you for the next few weeks, so we're excited for that. We know that you're going to bring a lot of great stuff. All right.
Ready for it.
Beautiful, as we are too. So lots to do, lots to talk about. So let's start. All right. Let's begin with the hip hop story. All right, here's the gist, guys. Could we be on the brink of a hip hop civil war? I don't know, but here is some things that are taking place with it, if you're not aware. Drake, oh my God. All right, let's start it off. Let's talk about the biggest news in hip hop right now. We have Drake and J. Cole. They're on tour. They have a song on Drake's latest album, For All the Dogs, that came out last year. They had the song called First Person Shooter, right? Him and J. Cole collaborating. J. Cole says in First Person Shooter, quote, "Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot? Is it Aubrey or me? We the big three like we started a league. But I remember I feel like Muhammad Ali." That is what J. Cole said. And for some reason, Kendrick Lamar wasn't feeling it. And Kendrick's been kind of quiet lately. But Future Metro Boomin released an album just recently. And it's a great album, by the way. Big fan of it. And they have this song called Like That, right? And Drake was featured on Like That. And he had a lot to say regarding this, responding to these lyrics, right? And
Kendrick, you mean? Sorry.
who did I say?
You said Drake. I just want to make sure because
Sorry,
there's a
you're
lot of
right.
names.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Okay, so we had Drake and J. Cole. Drake, J. Cole said, implied the big three, right? Kendrick did not like what J. Cole had to say. And in the song Like That, Kendrick responded with, "Fuck sneaking diss, first person shooter," literally called out the song.
Yep.
So there you go there. He continues by saying, quote, "I hope they came with three switches. Got two T's with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe." And he continues by saying, quote, "I'm really like that. And your best work is a light pack." Could that be Drake or J. Cole? Thinking is J. Cole pretty much calling them mid and saying they're not worthy with that bar. And then Kendrick continues saying, quote, "Prince outlived Mike Jack." Referring to Prince obviously outliving Michael Jackson, literally, right? And Kendrick often, and Prince and Michael Jackson get often compared to each other. And Kendrick has been known as a big Prince fan, two of the best to ever do it going at it. Kendrick is a Prince guy, right? And this is in reference to Drake saying in that same song that he's, quote, "one away from MJ," right? So that's where the reference comes there. And then Kendrick adds, quote, "N-word, bum, quote, for all you dogs getting buried." Well, he's clearly calling Drake out at this point, literally, for all you dogs getting buried. And then it ends with, quote, Kendrick saying, motherfuck the big three N-word, it's just big me. You know, translating, it's not the big three, it's just me.
Yeah.
So, bam. Clearly causing a firestorm, people picking sides. There's a beef right there. Drake has responded to these lyrics. And at the moment, he said in a tweet, quote, they rather go to war with me than admit they are their own worst enemy. All right, I know there's a lot to break down, but pretty much J. Cole and Drake said they were the big three. Kendrick wasn't feeling it. He came right at them. And this is causing maybe a hip-hop civil war. We had Future come at Drake, and quote, and apparently picking a side, and he was on this song. We've had Travis Scott make comments on it. And, you know, everybody has something to say here. It doesn't seem, I don't know how serious you'd actually think this is. It's clearly just them going at each other on who's the best. I mean, let's be real. It is Kendrick Lamar. Duh. He's the GOAT. I understand, if I'm picking a side, I understand Drake is no doubt one of the best himself. He's definitely the best hit maker. But I think Kendrick is winning this side. You know, same with J. Cole, too. Very meaningful songs, laid back. But, I mean, Kendrick Lamar is literally never missed. He doesn't overbear you. Like, his songs, he's somehow able to stay mainstream with very deep lyrics and also creating songs that are bangers and songs that hit you a certain way and just downright better music, and never had a bad album. Never, ever, ever. And his few mixtapes are even amazing. His features are amazing. Kendrick Lamar is the greatest rapper of all time, if you ask me. And I don't think there's a big three here. It is Kendrick. So I'm clearly on Team Kendrick on this one. What do you guys think about this stuff going on? And let me say one last thing about Kendrick. My favorite Kendrick Lamar fact. He is the only modern musician to actually win the Pulitzer Prize for music. No other popular artist has ever gotten that. Not the Beatles, not Taylor Swift, not Springsteen or Tina Turner, or the list goes on. It's Kendrick Lamar picking from a bunch of pretentious, privileged dudes of you know what group they are who decide this. And they pick Kendrick Lamar's damn album as the best for a Pulitzer Prize in music. If that doesn't say anything, I don't know what is. But anyways, that's breaking this all down. That's what we have for now. We'll see if this escalates more. But what do you think about Kendrick versus Drake and J. Cole?
I mean, yeah, it's very interesting. And like you said, Future actually sounds like he's beefing more with Drake than Kendrick is. I don't think it's that serious, really. I don't. I think it's all, you know, I want to say all in good fun, but I think it's like a kind of a friendly rivalry. I think they do want to prove they're the best against one another. They all are very talented. That Prince analogy is actually kind of good by Kendrick, because I do feel like he might be like very akin to Prince in terms of like as an artist. In terms of who do I like best? I mean, I like songs by all three of them. I'm not like a massive, like I don't listen to a ton of hip hop albums all the way through. So I guess in that regard, I'm more likely to pick a song that's broken into the top 40. And just the facts would be that Drake does that more, but I don't know that makes him better. I mean, I've heard enough Kendrick Lamar songs to know that I think he's lyrically better than Drake, right? I think I like those songs. I think I can tell he's better than Drake just by listening to him. But Drake does have a lot of hits. I mean, Drake's one of the biggest musician, like music stars in music right now. So, you know, I wouldn't say he's a slouch, and neither is J. Cole, but I'm with you, man. I think, you know, Kendrick's pretty, he's deep, but he's still popular, right? He's got a lot to say, and he can say it in a way that people still want to listen, you know, still buy the album. So yeah, I think Kendrick's got a pretty good claim to being the best all arounder right now. You know what I mean? He can do it all. He could get deep. He could do, you know, club hits. He could do it all. But that's just my thoughts anyway. I don't know if Kevon has a different thought.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think Kendrick was like unhinged, man. I think it's serious. Because
you know you do?
If you listen to if you really listen to Kendrick, a lot of the stuff he's rapped about in the past is really like controversial. It's always been like some controversial stuff, which is why one of the reasons why he won the Pulitzer Prize. And for him to like just go out of the way and like try to challenge them, I don't think it's just to be like it's just like a friendly rivalry, like you said. But to be honest, I think he means business. He's trying to prove that like he's the best. And to be honest with you, man, it's King Kunta, man. It's Kendrick.
I think
Like
we're all on the Kendrick side.
He's a lyrical genius. I don't think this is like, but like if I'm really gonna like say it's like a it's serious, but really it's compared to like Drake and J. Cole, Kendrick is beyond them, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think when I say not serious, I mean the subject. Is it like out of all the things to fight about, like who's best? That's been done time and time again. But I also agree with Kevin. I don't think it's a friendly rivalry at all. I think they legitimately angry at each other. And I know Drake and Kendrick have been beefing for years. They did one song, which is one of the most underrated songs ever, Poetic Justice. But I know they've had beef for a long time regarding that. And J. Cole and Kendrick have had their beefs. They never released that double album people thought was going to happen. I think it is like though there's worse things to be mad about, but I do think, somebody rubs someone the wrong way.
I wonder what made, I mean, is it just the audacity, quote, air quotes, I'm not picking a side for this, but audacity of claiming, of J. Cole claiming that it's a big three. That's really all it took to set off an actual, I'll say this. I don't know. I feel like J. Cole probably was speaking out of turn. Personally, I like J. Cole. I think if I honestly, I probably listened to more J. Cole than any of the three of them. But that doesn't mean he's the better of the three rappers. It just means I happen to like more of his songs.
It's
But
more self-proclaimed, to be honest. It's not, they just came out of nowhere and
exactly.
said they're the big three. I would be offended. I'd be offended too. It's
Right.
you're speaking against Kendrick and
But Drake didn't care.
Drake's also really weird too, but
She's strange, but
We're also talking about the Future stuff, and I know Drake and Future has had beef,
yes.
regarding they kicked him. I know Drake kicked him off his tour. I know in the past, I know there was instances where he didn't show up to music video shoots that he was supposed to. No, time and time again, they've had made great music together. I think it's just, someone told me, let me pull up their text about, how Drake really rubs people the wrong way. He says stuff like, and my friend said here, quote, the thing is Drake fucks with rappers he feels is lower than him. That's why you never see him make music with a Kendrick or a J. Cole a lot. And the song he got with Cole is Door because of the fact. Drake will use you and leave you. Seems like a very Drake thing to do. And then when you are comparing him to your level like that, if there's someone like a Kendrick who, again, you don't see him a lot, but when you see him, it's meaningful. And I think there's a reason for that. And I do think that's probably what set this off and where this is going. And the people, again, I don't know if this could be, a far in the wind later, but if there's a hip hop civil war regarding it. And I know in the past, obviously, there's been stuff escalating East Coast, West Coast in the 90s. And I know Snoop Dogg has been on the record saying, I don't like rap feuds because it turns more into a marketing plea. Like marketing teams will take advantage of that when there's legit emotion involved. So that's what's really interesting here. And again, maybe we just need more time to see where this actually falls, but if
I
I'm
will
picking,
say
I'd pick Kendrick.
just to be fair, because I've had this argument about other artists. We did a whole episode on a different artist where I basically said that a person's selling power isn't necessarily equivalent to their whether or not they're the best. But it is still important to point out because there's a crowd of people who would point to like ticket sales, record sales, streams, etc. And of that three, I'm just doing a quick search. It does appear that Drake would lead in all of those categories of the three that we just mentioned. So Something to point out that Drake typically finds himself on top 40 radio. He typically finds himself getting plenty of airtime, selling plenty of tickets to very big stadiums. So if there is a rap civil war, there's going to be a ton of artists, whether they believe it or not, who are going to jump on the Drake side of that thing because Drake's got a big old audience and a lot of people listening.
Yeah, I disagree
And
with that. Like Drake might have numbers, but he doesn't have like the loyal fans like a Kendrick does. Think of it like this.
money's
We're
still
going through a
green.
basket. If we're going to do a basketball reference, if Kendrick Lamar is like a Michael Jordan, six rings, only played 12 seasons, ruthless winner, and refused at nothing to prove that he's the best. We have LeBron, who's played 20 seasons. He only has four rings. Though he's always kind of there compiling all the stats, and no doubt he's one of the best to ever do it. But he's always going to be the second best player of all time.
But
And then
there are
J.
people
Cole
who
will be
say
like,
LeBron.
well, those people are wrong. And
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying you will
I'm just
always
telling you.
have no, I'm saying, but you will always have those people who say it's LeBron, and I
And
don't know.
they're what's known as a damn fool. And then
But their money's green, man. Their money's green.
who cares? It's all
I
about
would
what's
hope they do.
meaningful. Technically, Elon Musk is the richest man in the world,
He
but
is.
there's a price
Not
with that,
anymore.
and there's not music. Yeah, in fact, I think he overthrew that. And then if we want to take J. Cole, this isn't necessarily it, but if Bill Russell's technically the winningest player of all time, 11 rings. But it's just
I don't
the
think J. Cole.
substance in there. And that's why I think Kendrick, you have more people falling for the Kendrick side. And if Drake, again, as I mentioned, has, if he's throwing people under the bus, despite him being so popular and sometimes by default with that, I think Kendrick will take the lead.
Be
That's all I have
interesting
to
to
say there.
see.
Yeah,
Yeah, be
man.
interesting to see,
Kendrick is
but
literally the truth.
Yeah.
Literally the truth.
very talented lyricist, for sure. His songs are always, in my opinion, very as one of the, as a guy who looks like those guys who gave him the Pulitzer, like Matt was trying to nicely say, I think his lyrics are always very deep, always meaningful, and they always convey a story. I would not say the same about every Drake song.
Oh yeah. Like there's
So
some stuff that is just like, how did this become number one? Like he had literally lyrics, right foot up, left foot slide,
people
left
like it though. Money's
the
green.
what
Yeah, he has
the
what's
corny
following.
people like that. Yeah.
Money's green. People can listen. It's is what it is. But yeah, no, I agree. The lyrically, man, 100%. It's not even close. So with that, we'll see what happens. But fans are fans. It'll be interesting if it does turn into a real beef, as opposed to, like Snoop pointed out, a marketing ploy, which it could easily become a marketing ploy that they end up working on something together and it'll be a whole thing, right? But
For sure. Let's keep the hip hop theme going. We do have to do our diligence and talk about what's trending in the world, even if this story is a little gross. Sean Diddy Combs is in the news, and not for a good reason. So we have quote from Los Angeles. Sean Diddy Combs is a subject of a federal investigation amid a wave of lawsuits that have been filed against the rap mogul. Since November, a source familiar with the matter told NBC News on Monday. Three women and a man have been interviewed by federal officials in Manhattan in relation to allegations of sex trafficking, sexual assault, and the solicitation and distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms, the source said. Interviews with three other subjects are also scheduled. And amongst this, later in this week, Puff Daddy's homes in Los Angeles and Miami were seized while Diddy, went elsewhere. Apparently, he
I
had a
believe
trip to the
he
Bahamas.
fled.
He's heading to the
Alleged.
Bahamas. Yeah. Well, he got stopped by the police in the airport. So he had a ticket to the Bahamas. Which he was allowed to leave. They took electronics from him, I presume his phone. They arrested another person in connection with him for having drugs that same day at the same airport, but they let him leave. I don't know what that was all about. But his private plane went somewhere else. He was going to the Bahamas. His plane was in Antigua for some reason. So very confusing what was happening, why his plane left without him. to go down to the Caribbean, but it did. And presumably he's in the Bahamas now. I don't he didn't say he'd left. He wasn't arrested. It didn't say he wasn't allowed to travel. So presumably he's currently in the Bahamas. I don't know.
Exactly. And all these allegations, and people have made rumors for years about him with these weird parties and just sickening things to say that you could probably assume involving underage people, involving men and women, and just weird. And remember, he had that lawsuit with that singer Cassidy, who said over 10 years of allegations with the R word and the T word and getting beaten by Combs. Now that was settled, but more lawsuits came. And again, at this moment, no arrests have been made. I don't believe a warrant is out.
No.
But the thing is, it's clear that he must be guilty of something because he's clearly hiding. Like, this is something you see out of a TV show of some guy, of the bad guy just running away. And it's very strange what's going on. Am I right, guys?
I'll hold off of saying he's hiding to see if he comes back.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
The
I don't know how this exactly works. Like,
Bahamas have extradition, so he can't hide in the Bahamas.
so in a but in another country, they don't have extradition. And for those who don't know, that's pretty much you're in an area where you could still be arrested.
Yeah, I would say interesting that his plane left when all of his property got raided.
Yeah.
His plane is back in Miami. If the plane goes to pick him up, as opposed to a commercial flight, which he took to get to the Bahamas, then Matt, I'll put my conspiracy hat on. I think I'm with you. If he gets his personal plane to come meet him in the Bahamas, now he's in the Bahamas and he's got his personal plane. I think it's a coin flip whether that plane heads to Miami or, Belarus. So that's I'll say that. I do think that it's certainly possible he's about to go on the lam. But yeah, no, it does seem weird because he has a rap sheet even before the, what is it, the Diddy diddling, even before that he's got violence on his rap sheet. So it's interesting that they didn't detain him in the airport. If they thought that they were gonna like arrest him soon, you'd think they would have wanted to keep him from traveling because I don't know, but maybe they don't have enough yet. Maybe they're still not sure when or if they'll even bring formal charges. But right now, the lawsuits are only civil. This
Yeah.
investigation is not civil, though. It's a federal investigation. Like Homeland Security is involved. So if that goes anywhere, it will not be a civil case. It will be criminal. Presumably. I don't.
Well, we're him, I would fly back to Africa like Dave Chappelle.
I mean, yeah, there's places there to avoid extradition. Yeah.
So, do you guys think this is a smoke, there's fire situation? Like, I heard one, I was listening to one pod on this. Gray Van Lathan just said, yep, it's over for him. Just straight up over.
I feel like.
I'm holding my feet with all the facts coming out, okay? I don't know. Because, like, there's like this whole thing about trying to take down these big name celebrities going on. But I'm just waiting until all the facts come out. I'm not taking any sides. I don't know. None of us know what happened. None of us were there.
Sure.
We're all going by word of mouth here. We don't know these people personally, so
I don't
I'm
love
just
the
gonna.
I don't love the smoke there's fire concept because yeah, we don't know. But we Diddy has done wrong in the past. It's not like this is like
Oh,
all of
yeah.
a sudden. You know what I mean? Like it'd be one thing
Yeah,
if
he
this was
was
like all of a sudden someone who's been seen as like this saint or what, not even just a saint, but
I'm
just a
pretty sure he was
regular
a gangster
person.
back in the day, so.
Yeah, just like even a saint is almost mean. So I'll erase that. No one's a saint. But even like just
He
a
was
normal dude.
involved, yeah. He was
Yeah.
involved in some pretty shady stuff, so.
So like if I have to pick a side, right? I'm like, all right, well, we know that his past isn't totally clean. We know he's got a bit of a violent streak in his past. Is it crazy to think that that escalated to, more stuff later on, as he had more resources and more connections to utilize over people? No, I don't think it's crazy, but I mean, you're absolutely right. We don't know, but just because of the past, if this was out of nowhere, I'd be like, yeah, we definitely have to hold judgment. But I feel like this is not totally out of nowhere. This definitely feels like an escalation, but an escalation on something that existed at one point, provably. So,
We
it's a
are
good point. It's a good point.
seeing other people taking shots in too. 50 Cent calling him out, and also calling out Jay-Z. So where's Jay-Z in all of this? Showed Ryan one of the blind items that
You did.
behind the scenes, maybe it was reported he's meeting with a defense attorney. Allegedly meeting with a defense attorney. I don't know what's going on. That's just it. Regardless, it's
Yeah.
still a gross, sad story. And
What Diddy did, yes, is what Diddy's accused of doing is gross. Everybody else, I don't even see
allegedly,
evidence for.
allegedly. Yes, we have to say
Oh,
allegedly.
I said that.
Oh, I
What
know,
he's
just.
accused of doing, I didn't say allegedly, but he's accused of doing it. That's true. So what he's accused of doing, allegedly, is bad. I'm
This
not
isn't the
throwing
first
any
time we've seen a
names.
huge celebrity been accused of something.
Yeah, I'm not throwing other names in there. Matt can absolutely go ahead and do that. I'm gonna need a little bit more than that.
Well,
But
to be
Usher's name's been thrown around. I'm not throwing any more names there.
yeah, regarding that though, it's just I did see Usher's an old Howard Stern interview, him talking about being invited to Diddy's place, and he's like, I don't want anything to do with that. That's what you I assume you're referencing to. And yeah,
One of the things, yeah.
I just don't know. And we'll like Kevon said, we'll just see how this all unfolds. But I will say, whoever made that picture, the Diddy Do It on Netflix, pretty good. Pretty good. I won't lie. Pretty good by the create designer of that. But next story is a little tough too, but then we will switch it up. But let me say this, we all are people who grew up in a certain time. Hold up, let me just get this time. Let me get my timer. So we all grew up at a certain time. We're all around the same age. We're 90s babies. And we grew up with Nickelodeon shows. And they were good. Live action cartoons. But obviously there was a documentary that came out, documentary series on Max that came out a couple weeks ago that people are still talking about, known as Quiet on the Set. And now we originally were thought about doing the story last week. A little weary of it because, again, just gross things being talked about. And especially for shows that, were important to me growing up. And I'm sure a lot of people. And basically just hearing about how some of our favorite live action shows growing up, you're all that, iCarly, Drake and Josh, and hearing this the disgusting behavior that took place on set, it does put an effect on that for the rest of the time, knowing while you're getting entertained and you're making these memories and you're seeing stories for the first time as you're developing as a young adult, and hearing that the cast was going through immense trauma because of disgusting people doing the worst things you could do to a child, it's upsetting. But I will say there was one person that could not come at a more convenient time to at least the word I'm looking for. Not distraction, but it's like, let it out. And this is what I'm specifically referring to. And let me pull it up. So let me pull it up for those watching on YouTube and then listening. We have a true special person to our generation, Steve from Blue's Clues. He put this TikTok out, and this is what he did, Steve from Blue's Clues.
Hey, I'm checking in. Tell me, what's going on?
That's it. Simply as that. You know?
Good old Steve.
Didn't he actually address it at some point too? After that?
No, if he did, I didn't see. I looked. That was his most recent TikTok. But yes, so people assume this is a result, and this is a reaction of the quiet on the set, situations that took place and what the documentary is the subject to. So hearing about the creators and unfortunate filmmakers who put that cast through trauma, and for somebody who we're happy to see was on a show that wasn't tainted, and just letting, being somebody to listen, I think it was a nice way to address this sad situation, hearing about these facts that were revealed in the Quiet on the Set documentary. But it's that little thing from Steve, literally just standing there for a minute, just felt, you felt like a kid again. It's all the same. So again, that's what the fact, unfortunately, the facts are there, but there, it wasn't all so bad, and there were some still shows that didn't involve Dan Schneider that were still important and mean a lot. They got Keenan Kell's okay. Blue's Clues. Well, there's not much after with the live action stuff. The cartoons, luckily nothing happened there except Ren and
Different, yeah.
Stimpy. But SpongeBob's okay, Rugrats okay, Hey Arnold's okay. Avril Monsters okay. And yeah, that it's just tough to know shows you grew up with as a kid had the worst things behind the scenes, and I don't, it just stinks, but it is what it is. But at least we have Steve to help us as the viewer growing up with that get through it too. So that's what I have to say there. What do you guys think about this whole thing, the movie, what's come out after, how to carry on after that? What do we think about this?
I think the parasocial relationships that from 2024 have been incredible. Well, we had Elmo, now Steve, Zaboomafoo showed up for a bit to give everybody some joy at a particularly tough week, if I'm not mistaken. That was just because of timing. That wasn't on purpose, but still. Yeah, there's a whole like a little niche market for folks' childhoods to reemerge in adulthood. This is not even the first time that Steve from Blue's Clues has done this, actually. This is the second time that, he's gone on to like talk to the Blue's Clues generation about, a hard situation. So, I think it's great. I thought people do, like, as corny as some people probably saw that, and I won't lie, I was one of those people. Sat there
Well,
for a
Ryan, I should
minute.
kick you out then.
Well, hold on. Let me
I'm
finish.
kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Let me
I'm
finish.
kidding. I'm
As
kidding.
I can see how someone could watch this man sit there for a minute, just shaking his head, like, yeah. I could see how you get to the point where, like, well, that's corny. And for you, maybe it is, but for a lot of people, it's not. To have someone that they're used to talking, because think about it, you used to scream at your TV set to Steve. So now you got a chance to do it again about something that's serious. And so I think it's nice. And in terms of getting past it, I know we named all the shows that are still good, right? I mean, use the term like is okay. This one's okay. That one's okay. They're all okay. What happened is horrible, but well, everyone will be okay. You'll be okay. And now we know the truth, right? We know what happened behind the set. We know what happened to certain people, both onset and offset, because they were working there. And hopefully we can prevent it from continuing to happen, right? As part of this, and we can we can understand and support the people who went through this. It can be hard. I'm a fan of certain entertainment that this has happened before, where a tragedy has made certain things feel unwatchable or certain people unwatchable. And that'll hurt for a bit, but at the end of the day, nostalgia is nostalgia, and it's okay to still like these shows as long as you don't defend what happened backstage at these shows. As long as you open up your heart for the people who were so severely impacted and hurt by what happened, it's okay to be have conflicting positive and negative feelings about something. You can hold them both in your heart at the same time.
Feel that, Ryan. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head with that. And I commend you on that. That's a good way to explain what's going on. Kevon, any thoughts on this before we move on?
There were just always signs of stuff that I feel like we always knew, but because we loved the show so much, everyone just ignored it. There were always these subtle signs, even with the girl that played Sam on iCarly, when she came out and talked about all that
Jeanette
stuff,
McCurdy.
and even when you watch the shows, it was almost as if it wasn't even for kids sometimes. It was always like for adults or something like that, if you really look into it. But
Yeah, weird
that's just
innuendos and stuff.
me.
I didn't notice that. I won't lie. I know some people are saying that. And if you did, that like totally great, like good on you for being, you know, wise above your years and catching it. As a kid, I didn't catch any of that. None of it. I thought all of it was just, oh, okay. I thought it was all funny. I watched
No.
it.
I mean,
I
they
didn't
were
catch
making
it
out
as
with each other at like a weird
yeah
age,
it
you
yeah
know?
but
But
I
I mean,
mean
yeah, it was
watch rerun by
not, oh,
reruns
no,
watching
yeah.
reruns
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, so by the way, I meant the characters. I thought there was a little like who's saying I love you in middle school, you know, stuff like that.
So my thing is, I was watching especially something like the All That Stuff, and as an adult now, especially watching it with the documentary as like my guide, right? Yeah, I see it now at you know, at 29 years old, I totally see it now. But I tried my best. Like, think back when you were 11, 8, whatever, however many years old, when you watched this,
Right.
did you think it was weird? I know you think it's weird now, but you're 29 now, you know better now. Like,
Oh,
you're an
yeah,
adult
you're right
now,
on
you
that.
know better. At 9, did you really know better? Did you really think it was weird? The answer is no. I won't
Yes.
pretend to you
No,
that I
no,
thought it was
no, no. So
weird.
I don't know. I didn't notice as a kid,
Yeah, I didn't
but
notice at all.
seeing like, you know, Amanda in a hot tub during a sketch with an adult, that, you know.
Now, yeah, that'd scare me, you know, half to death. It did, but, you know, it's horrible. But I'm just, again, and some people are saying they noticed it as a kid, and that's great. I just am not, I was not one of those
And
people.
can we? I just want on the record to please. I hope Amanda Bynes specifically finds peace.
She going to law
Is
school, I
she's
thought, right? No, not
no,
law school.
no.
So he's
She,
at
I,
fault.
the last thing I saw of her, she was found by some random person, a random civilian on the road, like
Yeah,
just walking around.
so she is on Instagram now, and she's actually in, she's trying to get her manicurist license.
I thought law for some reason. Okay.
It's a little different, but it's
That's a little
something.
different,
Come
but
from
something. But like,
manicure law.
you know, you see her, one of the trends, showing pictures from her 10 years ago to now, and you know, she clearly has gone through a lot. And
Oh,
she has
yeah.
that cheeks, and I'm just all I think she's specifically, you know, really got messed up from this and Drake and like Drake Bell. And you just, all I just hope is, I just want on the record, I hope Amanda finds peace wherever she is, because she really does mean a lot to a lot of people around our age.
Also, these parents, I think, should take accountability too for letting this happen to their kids. I don't
Yeah,
know, like,
that's
what the
hard too,
relationship
though.
was like, but I'm sure they had some knowledge of what they were going through. But because of the money they were making, I'm sure they just
And that
didn't
was
care, I
addressed in the
guess.
doc as well. It was just the power just
I'll
addicting
push
to
back
that.
a bit on that. As a performer myself, as a kid, obviously I never got anything as big as all that. But if I had gotten a gig, right, as a kid, and I did, I got gigs as a kid, and my parents said, "Nah, we're out." I mean, listen, as my parents, they could just say, "You're out." You know what I mean? Like they're in
Yeah, that's what I
charge.
mean by taking
Yeah,
accountability.
but that I wouldn't blame Dan Schneider as a kid if my dream of being on TV was dashed by my mom or my dad. You know who you're blaming as a kid? You're blaming mom or dad, because that's what took you out of the show, not Dan Schneider. And
I know.
that's a hard thing to do when your child has a dream like that, a dream to be a performer, and then gets, let's call it what it is. This was a big break. This is real TV.
As a child, though, we all had dreams. Some of them, like,
Right. So
so
do you want to
sometimes
be the one to tell your kid no? I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't or they should. I'm just saying I don't think it's clear cut of the parents should have just pulled out. Because if your child's got a dream to do this and their dream came true and you're the one who says no and takes it away from them, and what if they never hit it again? Right? What if they never get
But
there
I'm
again?
saying, like, I'm not saying like in the moment, like when they're just starting it, but like if you find if it's like they were ignorant of what was happening, then I
Right.
understand. But if they knew, Or the kid told them.
Well,
They
right, no,
should have taken
if the kid wanted to
responsibility,
go
exactly.
out and the parents said, no, we need the money, that's a different story. But I'm saying it's hard
Sure,
to,
yeah.
if your kid appears to be enjoying something and is living out their dream and you're just uncomfortable with some of the content, it's very hard to say, I'm uncomfortable with your job. I know this is your dream. I'm pulling you out. Better luck next time. So I would press,
Right.
I think it's more situational. That's what I would say.
But is
More
it really
situational.
worth a child's innocence, though? Is it really worth it?
Well, I'm not here to make that decision for parents. I'm just
Let's be
saying,
real here.
well, I'm not, again, I won't make that decision for parents. I will say that I don't think it's clear cut for anyone to say, yes, I would just tell my kid to find a new dream and move
Sure,
on.
they made money, but like in the long run,
Not even about the money. Not even talking
now
about
they're
money.
met. Yeah,
I'm not talking about
they're
money.
still. But it's not like they're gonna stop being your kid. In the long run, it's still your child. They're always gonna be your child, and
Yeah, no,
for
I get
them
that.
to see them suffer like that, was it really worth it though?
Yeah, if, no, I'm
The
saying if they
whole
were
point of
suffering, yeah, the people who
okay,
were suffering,
the whole point of
the people who
well,
went to their parents and said, I'm uncomfortable, the fact that any of them stayed because it was their job is to me inexcusable. I'm saying not every kid stood up and said at the time to their parents, this is uncomfortable. There were parents in the documentary who said that they were uncomfortable, not that their child was uncomfortable, that they were uncomfortable. And in those situations, I don't believe there's a clear right answer of I'm uncomfortable, let's pull my kid out of this. Again, if your kid has a dream and doesn't get to live it because of you,
I
that's going to
know.
strain that
It
relationship and that's going to make it harder in the long run
doesn't
to
matter.
everything.
They're not adults.
Well, I know
There's
that.
certain
I'm not
decisions.
saying it's not right to
There's
do. I'm just
certain
saying
just yeah.
I could see why you
There's
wouldn't
certain
do it.
decisions they can't make for themselves. You're a kid, like you're whatever you're more susceptible to a lot of things.
No,
So
I know
like
that. Listen,
it
I
wasn't
get
there
it.
like
I trust me, I understand what
they
you're
were
saying. I
18.
have I
It's
am
fine.
starting
It's
I'm you
fine.
know, I like I'm married. I'm starting a family. This is not something I'm pulling out of my brain as a sophomore in college. I'm speaking of the truth.
No, man, but
You
like as
could
a parent, I know
you
what they're
could mess
saying.
up your kid just as quickly by stamping out their dream as you could with an assault. And you don't have to agree with me. We're gonna run out of time on this segment. I'll let
Yeah,
you
but
have the
that's not
last
the
bit
end.
on this,
Not
but
the end all be all, man. There's other things the kid could do.
no, but that's not how they see it's not how people see it's not how adults see it, by the way. So like I said, you can ruin your kid a lot of different ways. I don't begrudge the parents who were put in this horrible situation and didn't know what to do because it's not something that you can just it's not I don't believe it's as clear cut as all that, personally.
All right.
I think
I got
everybody
you.
made a fair point on this. Can I just say just one quickly related story? I happen to know a situation about an actor. He was an actor, you know, the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah.
He literally got cast in the Mighty Ducks movie, and his parents said, "No, you can't be in this movie." So he was pissed. He hated them. He moved on, but he still wanted to be an actor. He got a movie known as October Sky, then became Jake Gyllenhaal.
Exactly,
Look
it's
at
not
him
the
now.
end.
So I'm just
It's not the
saying,
end.
it is
Let
everything here
them
circumstantial,
decide
but
when they're an adult. Yeah.
keep that drive going if
That's
your
fine.
parents say no. They're just trying to protect you. And I'm sure we all can learn, got something to learn as a parent, as a child actor, and executives from this.
It's the same. It's kind of like how I look at like making kids like, I know this is like a controversial thing I'm about to say. It's kind of like when your kid say his dream is to be a woman, or his dream is to be a man if they're like the opposite sex. And you tell them no, or you wait until you're an adult. Is that crushing their dream? Is that going to ruin them?
I mean,
Like, what's it like the
since brought up,
sacrifice that
yeah,
you have to
there's
make?
evidence that yes, there's evidence that yes, you would screw up their mental development at that moment on. I'd also just point out that for every person who becomes Jake Gyllenhaal, there's a person who has a dream, is told to wait till they're older. Wait till they're older. Dream never happens. Now they're doing
Yeah,
nothing.
just they can wait.
No, now they're do
Right.
I'm saying now they're doing nothing. There's plenty of people. I mean, we won't know their names. I can't pull their name out of a hat more than a couple that I personally know. But Because they're not famous. That's the point. That's the reason we can't name them. We can name Jake Gyllenhaal because it ended up working out okay for him. For Jake Gyllenhaal, there's tons of other people who are not Jake Gyllenhaal. So, yes, I do believe that if your kid has a dream, to just cold cloth say no would be wrong. Now, like I said, obviously there was some bad stuff happening. So, when you became aware of the bad stuff, a conversation with your child, like what is going on? Are you okay? What is happening? Is more than appropriate. And both as their parent and presumably as their guard, like their business guardian, the person in charge of their business, their brand, you would want to
Right.
remove them from that situation. So I'm not at all saying that there aren't probably dozens of parents who
Which the
have
parents are
some.
very much in their right to make
Right.
that
And
decision because,
I'm not saying
again,
there's
the
not
children.
dozens of parents who are there who are not in the wrong because they knew it was happening. They knew it was happening to their kid, but their kid was funding their lifestyle. And they said, I'm describing Jeanette McCurdy. Jeanette McCurdy has gone out on record
Yes,
saying this is what happened.
and that was abuse, and she and
Right.
that's
And
just
she has called
abuse.
it abuse and it was abuse. So I just want to make that clear. There's tons of parents who are at fault. Jeanette McCurdy is a perfect example. She blames her mom entirely for what she went through because she told her mom she wasn't into it. And her mom said, too bad. We need you to pay the bills. That is not the case for everybody. And it's not always the case of you'll do it later. This isn't, this isn't dreamland. This isn't rainbows and unicorns. Sometimes you have a dream and you fail. So to hit reach your dream and to
But
lose
these
your dream
people are, but look,
sucks.
these people, they count on stuff like that. They count on stuff like that.
I
And then
get you.
that's
Listen,
what they feed off of this.
I feel like this conversation's
So
gonna
that let's,
end in a circle. So
you can't
I've
make
said
it
my
easy for them,
piece.
Ryan. You can't make it easy for these
And I wouldn't
predators.
make it, and I wouldn't make it easy for predators. I've worked in industries that are full of predators, by the way. I believe me. So I'm not worried about that. All I'm saying is that anyone who can sit there and say with 100% certainty that you could just shut down your child's ambitions at the finish line, pull your child away from the finish line after
I
hard
believe
work.
in the long run,
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to make a
if I
decision. I'm not
believe in the
saying that you
long run
wouldn't
it's going
do
to be
it.
detrimental to their livelihood and their lives, come on, as
I
a
got you. I
parent,
got what you're
you
saying.
have
I'm
to
not.
consider, you have to consider. I don't even have children, and I know that any parent that really loves their child would make that decision for them. It's
Right.
not
And it's
a
up.
matter of like destroying their dream.
It partially is, but we're not going to get anywhere in this conversation. No offense. We're just not because I'm speaking about what I'm speaking about from my own lived experience, from my own experience as someone who is trying to start a family. You are speaking from your experience, whatever that is. I don't know, but. Clearly, there's some lived experience because you could tell by the way you're speaking that it's something you're passionate about. We're not going to change each other's minds because we both have lived different lives with different lived experience. So,
I think you're
basically,
wrong, man. I think you're wrong.
protect your kids as best you can. Horrible that this
Yeah.
happened to these
That's
people,
the
and that's all we can
ultimate
say.
job of the parent. It's the ultimate job.
All right, next story, right? So Jennifer Lopez has been ridiculed lately for the last couple of weeks. Her movie bombed. She canceled tour dates. And a lot of people aren't on the J-Lo bandwagon. As I mentioned and I told you, she's not a very good actor. And
No,
a
Jenny from
lot
the
of,
block.
well, this is the thing, right? And a lot of
Which
people
block?
feel she is not authentic. And Jennifer Lopez says she's from the Bronx. Kevon's from the Bronx. And I think this is a great opportunity for you to see specifically Kevon, as well. I'm about to play you a video that proves whether or not J-Lo is a phony. The great Soho Brody on TikTok. Check him out on Instagram. One half of the Broadcast Boys, dream podcast guest here. He helps break down all of the hate that J-Lo has gotten lately. So we'll play this. Then, Kevon, you go first as somebody who's from the Bronx and see if Soho Brody's argument is fair or not. And ultimately, you yourself can decide, is Jenny really from the block? Is she an authentic
Well, no,
Bronx person?
she is from the block. She is from the block. People have come out saying that they've
Wait,
gone to the
wait, wait.
same
Before, wait,
school
just
she
before. Yeah, just before. I definitely hear that. Let me just play this video first, and then we'll break it down more. So this is Soho Brody breaking down all of the hate that J-Lo has got since her recent bomb and failures since the new year started. Okay, here we go.
Is J-Lo truly from the block? Let's investigate. So I discovered a New York Post article from 2002. Jenny who? Locals say J-Lo more blockhead than from the block, which is simply a genius headline from a very reputable publication. Members of the community at the corner of Castle Hill and Black Rock Avenue say she exploits her roots to enhance her street image, but gives nothing back. Not even autographs. A rumor confirmed when she pulled back up to her block, only for an elder resident to say, who the fuck is that guy? She showed up for an interview with Diane Sawyer, visited the Catholic school she attended, stopped at the house she grew up at across the street, all while bodyguards are shoving excited kids out of the way. If you're not getting humbled after Geely, all hope is lost. Some people are really looking for answers. Is there any photo evidence of J-Lo actually being on the block? So I uncovered government photos of her childhood home from the 1980s. This appears to be a standard, if not above average home. Adjusted for inflation in the mid-80s, this would have cost about $300,000, which was $180,000 above the national average at the time, with no mansion tax. Shout out the Oppenheim twins. And when it comes to her neighborhood, Castle Hill has a median income of $47,000. While an average American couple earns about $31,000 per year, which would have put her in the 75th percentile nationwide. So it is safe to say that Jenny from the cul-de-sac is the queen of cap. The Catholic school she attended has an annual tuition of $12,000 a year. Jeff Bezos is technically from a block too. But that's not all. Her go-to order at the bodega is ham and cheese on a roll with an orange drink. J-Lo's about as New York as Sir Anthony Hopkins. Keep in mind, this is the same woman whose second highest rated film was Ants 2. But she also starred in other smash hits such as Boy Next Door, Wedding Planner, Ice Age Collision Course, so many more box office basura bangers. Of the 32 films she did star in, 19 have below a 40% score on Rotten Tomatoes. And for our grand finale, are we forgetting Jenny from the yacht dated Diddy for 2 years? God damn. When it comes to the ultimate freak off, there are no winners.
All right. That breaks that down. It seems, though, Jenny is from the Bronx. She comes from a very affluent area of the Bronx. And, you know, if she's still from the Bronx. Anything, I mean, so
she
is like, you know, River Hated.
Yeah, she never said witch block. This is our fault. We didn't investigate quickly enough the first time. We just assumed block meant something she didn't mean.
It's a block.
Jenny, it's a block.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, if you're from Greenwich, you are from a block in Greenwich.
That's right.
Or the Hamptons or Brentwood. Yeah, but yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say, you know, like, stop trying to act all gangster. And then with all this great research from the great Soho Brody, she seemed to not really be in the struggle, if you will.
I do like Jenny from the cul-de-sac. but no, he said it in that video himself. Jeff Bezos is from a block too. That's true. That was our fault. I'm blaming us. We didn't ask enough questions. When she showed up as Jenny from the block,
we jumped to conclusions.
We were fooled by the rocks that she got. We didn't ask enough questions, and now it's finally come out that turns out those rocks came from her father on her 16th birthday. So now we know. But yeah, I think she omitted a sin by omission, perhaps. Like, she didn't correct anybody, but never said, right? I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe.
Oh, the semantics of it.
They're gonna get away with that. She was immunized. Yes, definitely a semantics game out of Jennifer Lopez about her her roots in the Bronx. But
yeah, Kevon, as a Bronx native, do you feel she was being a bit phony? You know, with the stereotypical stuff. I'm from the Bronx. I'm tough. Yeah.
Definitely. If this is all true, what he's saying, I can't say for sure because I don't know all the facts. So this is all alleged, right?
Actually confirmed. She did go to like a private Catholic school. It does sound like she lied.
No, no, because there was this girl I saw on TikTok from the Bronx. She said Jenny went to the same school. She went in the same high school. When she was talking about how she never came once to visit all the time she was there. She never really gave back to the community, just like he was saying in the video before. But if he's really using that clout to benefit her and not giving back, then that becomes a problem. Because for the people who have lived in the Bronx and lived in from the actual block per se, lived that lifestyle, it's not fair to them. that someone is like making a living off this, or like getting paid for like for every time that she says she's from the block, they say she gets paid for it or something like that. But I don't know. But this is all speculation to me, for me, because I don't really know. I'm not really that much of a J-Lo fan. I feel like that's more like in the Latina community or Latina community, but
Hey, Ryan,
yeah, I don't know, man.
correct me if I'm wrong. You were talking about how she was a good actor, you and Jose, and yet half of her,
You
over
miss
half of her movies
no.
have under
No,
40% of
do
Rotten
not, do
Tomatoes.
not, wait, I never,
no, do not.
I said I could be wrong, but I know someone disputed my take on J-Lo being a good actor or not.
I
That
seen
might have
her
been
in
Jose.
Selena and The Wedding Planner. I've not made
Okay,
any
then it was probably Jose that was
I've
coming.
never watched any of her movies. Is that
Yeah,
I haven't
I think she's
seen.
a good singer, and like her song, she's a good recording artist. She makes, decent music, and
She's a good
people seem to really
performer, but
like it.
I don't
Yeah,
know.
I've never once said, "Oh, definitely that actress, Jennifer Lopez." I did say I was excited that she was making that Fever Dream of a movie that I've only heard
I
bad things about.
yep.
So,
I
and
also
look.
I forgot to say, from there is this things that she did with Ja Rule and Ashanti, and I believe she said she wrote that song that I think I don't know if it was Ashanti, some R&B singer. I believe it was Ashanti. And she took the credit for writing that song when it was actually Ashanti that wrote it.
That's
Not
not bad either.
surprised.
Even if she
Yeah,
was
I
from the
don't.
block, I'd be disappointed.
I mean, yeah, you know,
Yeah,
if
they
some
came out in an interview. They came out
it's
in an interview and spoke about that, so I don't know.
very hard for somebody, who was authentically, usually, not everyone, but I feel most of the time, if you are somebody from humble beginnings, usually you're somebody who will naturally give back like that and reference and not use it as a clout enhancer as
Right.
well, like to prove, look what I am. Like usually you see someone, it's like it just is what it is type of thing. And but she's like, making it her, and well, people are calling phony on it. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and that's fair, I agree.
Clearly not surprised, huh? Jenny from the block. Liar. All right, good job, Soho Brody, and let us keep the tradition going. Okay, Caleb Williams, expected to be the number one pick in the NFL draft this year. He was recently at a women's March Madness game, or actually, I think it was either a women's March Madness game or a conference tournament game, but he was recently seen with what appears to be in the photo. I can show you the photo right here. All right, everybody can see. All right, Caleb Williams, USC quarterback, expected to be the number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft by the Chicago Bears. As you can see, there's things to point out. It looks like he's wearing pink lipstick, a pink iPhone, and he has painted his nails pink.
His dream was to be a woman when he was a kid.
I don't know about that one, Kevon, but I know one thing, he
I'm
is
kidding.
expected to be a big deal in the NFL. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, has a lot of good things to say. I'm on the fence if I think he'll be a good pro or not. The idea of the difference between a quarterback who could play in college and especially one in the NFL who could transition to the NFL, you make your good receivers look like they're great. You make the offensive line easier, the job easier for them in protecting yourself from them, and you make more play more disciplined football. Now, Caleb Williams has been known to be a bit emotional in games. Not anything wrong with that. And also, people feel like he has lost some competitive edges as well. And regardless, though, you can see my NFL draft show at the end of next month with that as we break that down. He's clearly somebody who's not afraid to be himself. And, with this picture, though, there have been some nasty people who were saying stuff, stereotypical. People were calling, were gay bashing him. People were saying he's soft and stuff like that. And all I have to say is let the man cook or do what he wants. He comes from a generation who's very open about who they are. But as long as you can win football games, who cares? And it is
He's an
interesting to
adult.
see.
He's an adult man. He could make his own decisions. He's an adult man. Right.
Exactly. And you could see what you and you'll be able to see what, He provides and produces. So very interesting, but also shows how close-minded and stupid some of us are on Twitter. But it doesn't matter. No, he's not gay. He actually has a very attractive girlfriend, and he's made millions of dollars, and he's about to make millions more being the number one overall pick. Now, he clearly has a lot of pressure. And what's interesting about him, he's the first major NIL player to finally go pro and see how he competes at a professional level. And we'll
And that
ultimately
will
see
be a
where it
big
goes.
that will be a big deal. I will say, in terms of the NIL thing, like there might be some truth to the idea that when you make your star college players gazillionaires, it changes the way that they show up as rookies in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a crazy idea that your multi-millionaire draftee is going to behave differently than your previous draftees who were not multimillionaires. Not this, by the way, not me saying they shouldn't pay them that much money in college. Just, I think, a fact. If you draft a millionaire, they're going to act differently than someone who's not a millionaire. But yeah, I mean, I worry that this will impact his drafts.
Oh no, there is no,
Obviously.
he's going number one no matter what. As long as he doesn't die, he will be the
Okay, I
number
mean,
one overall
listen,
pick.
I just worry. I mean, obviously, not that this is not a direct comparison because Michael Sam, who I'm about to invoke, was not the number one overall pick, and he was never going to be the number one overall pick. But I do think that the Michael Sam thing shows that there is some latent kind of fear of individualism, we'll call it, to be kind to the teams involved. And I do worry about that. But I mean, you're saying that it's literally impossible not to see a number one overall pick for
Oh
Caleb
yeah.
Williams. And I trust you. You know
If
football better than
he
I do. But I would be worried if I were
people
his
are
team,
comparing him to
personally.
Patrick Mahomes as long as he can transition that to the next level. And
Right.
he was pretty stellar on a USC team that was very bad. This well not very bad. They were only ended at 500, but people are worried about his integrity. Like losing when he lost to Utah. When he lost to Utah earlier this year, he ran to his mom and cried in the stands in her arms.
I
Not
mean,
that there's anything wrong with that,
Pat
but
Mahomes does
some
that too.
people. No, he doesn't. He
I
doesn't.
mean, yeah, he
No, he
yells and
doesn't.
all that. No, he doesn't run
No,
to his
he
mom.
doesn't run to his mom and
No,
cry in his
he
arms.
doesn't actually do that. But I'm saying, like, he's not the first emotional player in the NFL.
But it's a different emotion. It's
Which tears, sure, but I mean, I would say that they're both
the competitive edge,
bad.
if you will,
Yeah, they're both bad
is
emotions,
in.
yeah, but.
And some people feel like, how are you going to, transition that to the next level? And then there are people who weren't NIL players who will literally try to hit your head off. Like, how are you going to transition to that? Especially for a Bears franchise that have been irrelevant for 10 years. They didn't make the playoffs only once in that 10-year period. Haven't been to a Super Bowl in close to 20 years. And especially a franchise who hasn't had a starting quarterback in close to 30 years, a franchise one.
I know that.
So
I know the
he's
kind.
about to go into an intense environment, including Chicago. When he was literally in Hollywood, now he's going to Chicago, where they have O Block. And will he be able to
Chicago's not
transition
gonna
there?
love the nail polish. I won't lie to him.
Yeah.
If he
So.
was asking me, I would point out, yeah, Chicago's not gonna be a huge fan of the nail polish. Not saying you shouldn't do it. I mean, think about it. You know, he could be like the second coming of Broadway Joe. If he's real good, then everyone will be wearing pink nail polish all over Chicago. It'll be a brand new city. There's opportunity
Chi-town?
here, but yeah.
No.
It's not gonna, definitely not an inherently strong fit out the gate in terms of culture between the city of Chicago and Caleb Williams. I will give you that.
Hey, I will say we've had clips on this show for as far back as 2022 on him. And I hope it goes well just to see if he can be a good pro and makes this show look much better. But interesting. Yes, it's definitely an interesting choice of style, but I'm
I
sure he
don't care
doesn't
about
care.
that.
He has
Yeah, I mean, I
a lot
don't
of
care
money,
about that. Yeah.
but you dope that he just focuses on because he has a big task ahead of him for a starving franchise and a great NFL franchise in the Bears. So let's hope he does well with that. All right. Let's continue on, my friends. All right. Stephen A. Smith. We have another Stephen A. Smith story, right? So it was announced that Jimmy Kimmel will not be renewing his contract. So he's expected to leave within the next couple of years. I believe 2026 will be his final year as the late night host for ABC. That leaves a vacant spot. And one guy who's throwing his head in the ring, who also works for Disney right now, is Stephen A. Smith, who's on the record saying, I would like to take over his job. Simple as that. There's a good chance that Stephen A. Smith might be a late night talk show host. And I know his contract with ESPN ends in the end of 2025. So that kind of would work in his favor. Mm. So here's the big question. Do we think Stephen A. Smith could be a late night talk show host? And a good one.
Yeah, what do you think, Matt?
Oh, obviously. I think that's a no-brainer almost. Especially with late night, which unfortunately is a dying medium. You know, it's there, but it doesn't have the major influence as it once was. And even the late night clips aren't as viral as they used to be either. But for somebody who is very cultured, clearly, for somebody who is very intelligent and very aware of what's going on, if you follow his podcast and his viral podcast takes on everything from obviously sports, having a politic angle, a politics angle, to figuring out who's the best Pokemon and stuff like that, all these random stuff. He knows how to have an opinion. He's very entertaining and he's informative as well. And I'm sure he has the chops to do monologue jokes. That's the big thing. So I guess it's not him.
Start
going to comedy clubs right now to start training for it. But I do think Stephen A. Smith would be a great selection.
That was my one. That's why I wanted to hear your opinion first. My only thought would be, I don't know how the monologue would go for Stephen A. But A, I don't know that you need it to be as strong. Like, you know what I mean? You can do things a little differently and it'll still be fine.
Like Seth Meyers, who was doing monologues traditionally stand up and now just went straight to the desk after to
start exactly. his show. Yeah. And so like you don't need a monologue, but if you wanted to go in like the model of the traditional late night, and you'd probably want him to at least start there. I could see the monologue being tough. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he'd do as many of like the funny Tommy's skits, but he could replace that with, like, you know, the panel stuff and talking about Pokemon and his opinion. You know what I mean? Like, you could fill all that time with Stephen A. stuff. The skits are not that important. I think he'd be a good interview. And if he can get through an introduction, be it a regular monologue or something else, then he'd be a fine pick. And he'd bring his own fan base with him, which always good to have, right? What about you, Kevon? What do you think?
Stephen A. Smith, late night with Stephen A. Smith, or no, it would be the Stephen A. Smith Live or whatever. What do you think about that?
Oh, he is a talented dude. If anyone can do the job, it's going to be him. There's no one else I could think of that would do a better job than Stephen A. Smith. But Jimmy Kimmel, he will be missed, but it's good to bring in some new talent.
I would agree with that. And someone from outside of like the, you know what I mean? Like it'd be a different background. And Kimmel was a different background too, right? Kimmel was
the host of the man show. Yeah,
well, I mean, before that, I thought Kimmel was radio. And then
mostly radio.
Yeah, so radio. You know, yeah, Kimmel had a different background. He wasn't a stand-up and a writer either. He was, so, you know, maybe that's the key. Finding folks from, you know, a sports journalism background is very different than a comedy writer, than stand-up comedian, than improv actor. You know what I mean? So might be nice to have a different background, like Stephen A.
Keeping it fresh, sure. Keeping it fresh. All right. Before we switch it to more fun stuff, one last story, right? Watch Mojo. You remember Watch Mojo?
I still watch Mojo.
See, still watch it. Kevon, you know Watch Mojo?
Of course. Of course I know Watch Mojo is my guy.
Watch Mojo, one of the greatest YouTube channels of all time, known for their top 10 list. They released a very ambitious list this past week. They did the top 30, hear that, top 30 television shows of the century. So since 2000, what are the top 30 television shows? This is specifically scripted shows.
Are we talking animated or live action?
Yeah, not even. Well, I mean, well, yeah, live action. So this is scripted shows. So no reality TV shows, no news shows, no animated, all live action scripted, whether as a sitcom or a drama. These are the top 30. Let's give you the top 10. But some of the top 30 shows included Veep, Chappelle Show, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Bear, great pick there, The Office, The West Wing. Sorry, Ryan, it did not make the top 10, but it's there.
It's, not
it's in there. It's in there.
No, that's the 90s. So this is anything from 2000 on. Okay.
Some of just the 2000.
Yeah, anything since 2000. Some omissions from this list include Better Call Saul, which definitely is a travesty. Mm. Horrible, horrible leaving that out. Dexter, Ozarks, oh, Walking like Dead, Arrested Development did not make the list.
All of those should probably be on the list. I mean, honestly, yeah. I'm a huge West Wing fan. West Wing was mostly in the 90s. I think all of those should be in instead of the West Wing.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right?
That's my favorite TV show of all time. Matt yeah. knows that. I've seen as it five times. But
as
I
long as you have, yes, a year in the 2000s. You could start in the 90s technically. But
yeah, as long as you're in the 2000s. I get you, yeah.
Yeah, your prime is in the 2000s, yeah, if you will.
You. I get you.
But, yeah, but here's the top 10. Let me just tell you. Curb Your Enthusiasm is 10, disgrace. It should be top three. Atlanta, number 9. Good, it's in the top 10. I would even argue that. With 5. I think Lost, now Lost, listen. You cannot have a top 10.
I watched Lost when it just came out. I think it was, might have been middle school I started Lost, or like freshman year high school. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Amazing.
Now, I do
the
agree there are some.
Is confusing as
exactly. There's some good episodes, some bad episodes. I really think if you're top 10, you need to be as close to flawless in your run as possible. Game of Thrones as 7. Sorry, Game of Thrones at 6. Again, you
high.
Failed in the final season.
Might
if you
high.
If you ended, should I would give it to top 30 because it definitely proved that ambitious pretty much combining cinema and television together perfectly, and it's in the epic genre that is, mm-hmm. that works. But no, 7, fine. I'll give you 10. I'll give you 10, but no, nothing after 10.
Yeah, flip Curb and Game of Thrones. My opinion. Just
here's actually a very underrated show. I don't know anyone who's actually watched this show. I have watched this show, but it's like really, it's again. I thought it was weird to put this here, but at 6 they put The Leftovers, which is about see, no one knows it. So how could it be a top 10 show of all time and all that people have seen it?
I don't know.
So I'll give you top 30, but pretty much it's about what's the word I'm looking for? When you know when they leave people in heaven and the good people go to earth, not the apocalypse, but what's that called?
Oh, the rapture.
The rapture. It's a rapture.
When everyone goes up, but the people who weren't stay.
Hence the leftovers.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
So pretty good
that's
stuff.
Kind of fun. Yeah.
Number 5 was Succession.
Okay.
I think a little recency bias there.
I think too, but that's fine. Yeah. I can see it.
I'll give you top 30, but not top 10. Mad Men. Okay.
That one works.
Number 4.
Okay.
The top 3, I actually think, is perfect. I think The Wire at 3,
okay.
Breaking Bad at 2, mm-hmm. and you could guess The Sopranos at 1.
That's pretty good. That's a good one.
I think this list is fair. Again, I don't know about Curb being at 10. I don't know about Game of Thrones being at 7. Switch those. And then I understand Lost Impact, but there are some bad seasons. So again, more of a top 30 show.
The last episode is pretty confusing.
Yeah, I think all-time greats are like, you know, cultural staples. And this isn't an easy list to make, but I do respect it. And I respect it
a lot. 6 Feet Under on there?
Yes, it is actually on the top 30 list.
Such a good show. I should rewatch that show. Such a good show. Can't recommend that one enough.
Well, good. And watch Mojo can't either.
I don't know how Walking Dead didn't make it on anywhere. Like, I'm not saying top 10, but... Like,
well,
it's got
to
be.
You know what they say? Should have
right.
just ended after season 4 and they went to 12. So.
Yeah, but even
they
still.
They killed off all the best characters.
Yeah, I'm not saying it ended good, but it's still. I mean, The Walking Dead created like zombie mania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the culture became obsessed with zombies purely because The Walking Dead was on TV. Like, if you can control the culture that strongly, even if just for 4 years, like Matt said, that's worth something.
Fair enough. Give us top 30, that is, like maybe a 27.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it needs to be at the top, but it changed.
Can I ask you a question?
It was crazy. It changed people.
People love The Last of Us. Isn't The Last of Us just Walking Dead, but
no.
Two people?
No.
Instead of...
There's a little more of a story to Last of Us. I don't know. The video game. I'm speaking about the video game. The Last of Us video game, there's like an actual story where you have to... With like a cure. It's a whole thing. The Walking Dead was just people kind of moseying around after all the zombies showed up. There was mini stories within it. Like, okay, we're going to get water or whatever. But like those are episodic stories. And the longer stories took much longer to build. Last of Us is a pretty tight story. They're doing A to get to B and then see what happened. Like it's pretty tight story.
I like what you did. A to get to B and C what happens.
Not even on purpose, but look at me go.
All right. And how about you, Kevon? You like this list?
I can't say I do.
Ooh.
There's so much more amazing shows that could have been on that list. Like who was like the vote? Who was the votes like for this list? Who's behind
Watch
this
Mojo.
List?
Yeah, nobody knows who makes the Watch Mojo list.
Yeah, Mr. Watch Mojo.
What's that girl? Watch what's Mojo. That woman's voice with the awesome voice?
Oh, I don't remember her names.
She says her name literally every show.
Do,
I know.
Yeah.
I can't think of it either, but maybe she likes it. And somehow,
that
list is rigged. That list.
What
was The Good Place on there anywhere?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
I think it was like 15.
That's another excellent, excellent show. Everyone should watch.
Kevon, what show should have made the list?
Well, they're in the 90s, but does it have to be 2000s?
Yes. They have to have been in the 2000s.
The 21st century.
Yeah. It could have started in the late 90s. But it has to end up in the 2000s, right? So.
Yeah. Like Sopranos is 99.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I would add. I mean, I bet you if whatever I'm going to say
Family
is
Matters,
on it.
But no, that's not.
Did you say what? Family Matters. That's a 90s show.
Yeah,
I'm 90. I'm a 90s baby. What do you want from me?
You know, we could do next week the top 90 shows. I will look up Watch Mojos. They definitely have that list.
They have to have it, right?
I grew up on 90s stuff. Like,
Family Matters is a good show, though. Sitcoms were kind of not great in the 2000s.
Yes, yeah. I'm very happy to see How I Met Your Mother didn't get there.
Was it Trailer Park Boys? That's not a sitcom. That might have been on there.
Like, not a multicam sitcom, but sitcom. I would say Malcolm in the Middle, I still think, is the most underrated show. Because if you really look, there's some clever, very
That's
clever stuff
on
there.
Were they in there?
No.
They could have been on there.
Yeah, so let's move on. You know what? I have this awesome video I can't wait to show you guys. And I didn't even mention to you I was going to show. I didn't mention anyone was going to show this. But this is a TMZ reporter, right? He had something to say about something. You ready to see what he had to say?
Sure.
All right. Here is the TMZ reporter saying something that is very interesting, I thought. So here we go. All right, let's do it. All right, here's the TMZ reporter. All right, we paused for a second, but here it is. All right, here is the TMZ reporter, everybody.
I get him.
I've been a producer at TMZ for the past 10 years or so. I noticed a huge change in the way people perceive celebrities, and I'm curious if you feel this way as well. I think people no longer think it's like cool to see celebrities like showing off all their like expensive ass shit. Like, it's now cringe, I feel like, for celebrities to like boast about their big ass like kitchen, and like Kim K posts her enormous like bathroom and stuff. I don't think people give up a shit anymore. It's so like out of touch with what normal like everyday people are dealing with now, and I think people are like finally coming around to that, like especially J-Lo right now, just trying to be like, all, yeah, I'm one of the regular people, I'm like, you know, she puts her hair down and shit, like Everybody can see through that nonsense. I think, you know, nobody's being fooled anymore. These celebrities think like it's so cool, you know, check out all my flashy shit. People now are like just trying to get by though, and it's kind of like a slap in the face to see, you know, all these celebrities flaunting their wealth and shit. I think that's really dramatically changed probably like since the pandemic happened or so. And honestly, I'm all for it.
So am I. I mean,
my thoughts exactly.
Like, here are some of the top comments from that video. Tony Anderson said, people are broke and sick of celebrities. Another person, Anchi, because of TikTok, we realize everyday people are more relatable, entertaining, and we learn more. And then I think this, the third top comment, the pandemic made us stop caring about celebrity status. All right, tell me, what you thought about the TMZ reporter's view on celebrity culture?
He's definitely right about the pandemic made most people stop caring about celebrities. I will say, I feel bad for the TikTok comment person. So if whoever needs to hear this, TikTok's still not real life. The internet's not real life either. We say it on the show a lot. I know we cover the internet because it's a lot of fun to cover, but people are putting people are putting their fake life on the internet as content. They're just not as rich as Jennifer Lopez is. But I do agree that people have stopped idolizing celebrities in the same way that they used to, and they stopped caring about, you know, everything he said about that. I think 100% agree. And I'm glad. Celebrities are normal people. We shouldn't be putting them on a pedestal because their kitchen is big. You know what I mean? Like, is what it is. But so I 100% agree with that. Totally glad that's happened. I just do caution the people from saying, yeah, the internet is better because it's more authentic. Nothing is authentic on the internet. It's just as carefully curated as your TV shows, your reality TV.
And it's not a real place.
The internet? Well, you know, physically, it's not a real place. You can't find it. It's not, you can't go to the internet. But yeah, that's just as curated. That's just as manicured. So I would just caution the idea that the internet is more authentic writ large. But it does democratize it. So more authentic voices can try and go viral. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that really hits differently in that sense. And I think the truth of celebrity culture is just too bad. Imagine all the people, I'm finally a celebrity. Of course, you'll have your fans by default, but like,
well, yeah,
life goes on, man. Life goes on. I think that's the thing. Audiences, is an audience really wants in 2024. They want to look at a person, whether they're an influencer, a host, a podcast host, anything. They just want authenticity now.
Or a celebrity. There are celebrities that are deemed more authentic and therefore more well-liked. But yeah,
maybe
also,
some.
What do you mean? A celebrity that people like? People like Jennifer,
authentic.
What's her
Stop.
Name? What's her
Coolidge?
Name?
Coolidge?
Well, her too. But Lawrence.
Cillian Murphy. J-Law, yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, there's people that everybody, Emma Stone seems to be pretty well-liked and pretty genuine.
John Cena.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I'll say this.
Cody
also,
Rhodes.
Well, he's different. That's just for a niche audience, though, yes. But I would say, though, like, honestly, another thing is you don't have to want to see where your celebrity, you know, eats. Sometimes it could be like, I like Timothée Chalamet's movies. I don't need to see his house.
Right.
I don't care about his house. I don't need to see his bedroom. I don't need to see his bathroom or go to see the restaurant he likes. I'll just watch the movie and be like, wow, that was a great movie. Good job, Timmy. And then I'll move on.
You know,
I'm a fan of him, but I don't need to know like the car he's driving. You know what I mean? Just see the movie, move on.
You know, when celebrity culture died was when in the pandemic that they tried to sing Imagine Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot killed celebrity for everyone. Hey, that makes her a big celebrity. If she's the celebrity that killed celebrity, could you imagine
that? Literally, I can truly say this. The stupidest video of all time.
Yeah. It was
literally made people feel worse.
They really did.
In their big houses singing. Like,
what a damn shame.
And they thought for sure that was gonna like heal the world. You know it. They thought this was their We Are the World thing. They really did think that was gonna be like the moment that brought everyone together and out of the pandemic, and pandemic went on for like another year and a half, and everyone hated them afterwards.
Lockdown was so hard for them in their mansions.
Exactly. But yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. Now, there's no doubt there are celebrities worth learning from and being inspired by. We commend them. Just not everyone's still, like that.
And you can still like the ones who are not in terms of their movies. You know what I mean? Like, you can still like their movie without needing to idolize them as people.
Man. Any other thoughts on that one, Kevon?
Yeah, well, you guys put that, like you said, you put the hammer on the nail. It's just becoming really laughable what celebrities are doing these days. But people are still going to go crazy for them. So what are you going to do?
True. Always be some fans.
All right, guys. Just two more things. Who's ready to read some Reddit facts? You guys ready for this one?
I'm a big fan of Reddit.
I'm about to read you some facts. So should we go depressing facts, happy facts, facts you didn't learn? What are we feeling?
Facts I didn't learn. I want to learn something.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I only prepared for – we will prepare that for next time.
sorry. Okay.
So these are from Ask Reddit. What is a very disturbing fact almost nobody knows? All right. You ready? From Do I Have Dementia? Many old people nearing death will have a very distinct smell about them, which is when their organs are slowly rotting. I don't know if that's true or not. Do we know that? What's that smell? Or do you know?
You just can tell.
Hmm.
Huh.
I'll just say that, you know, I've had recent experience where, yeah, I would believe that. Believe that.
Did you know that chainsaws were invented to assist in difficult childbirth? According to Jupiter Fox.
Don't know. Couldn't possibly tell you how. But that one sounds made up. But
all right, we're going to switch to happy facts instead. Okay.
Happy things to know.
Okay. Who's ready for happy facts?
I'm ready for happy facts.
All right. Did you know your heartbeat syncs up with your partner's heartbeat?
That's kind of cute.
Did you know that cows have best friends?
No.
Did you know?
Interesting.
Penguins propose and stick to each other forever?
That I did know because I saw Happy Feet.
Did you know that the actors who played Mickey and Minnie Mouse were married in real life?
No, I didn't know that. I don't even know the actors who played them, to be honest with you.
Did you know that people see you 35% prettier than you see yourself?
I don't know how they could possibly prove that, but sure.
All right, who's ready for another happy fact?
Happy fact.
Did you know that octopuses make gardens?
I didn't until I heard the person say it. But Octopus's Garden is a Beatles song, so that kind of makes sense.
All right, now let's do weird facts. Not disturbing ones. Weird facts. Who's ready?
Ready, let's hear him. I'm excited for
ready.
Okay. This is what they should have taught you in school. Did you know that in the Civil War, did you know that in the... Wait. No, that's not a happy fact. Did you know that... That's not a happy fact either. This took a little bit of a different... This took a little bit of a different direction than I thought. Did you know that your brain doesn't read the second the in a sentence unless you really focus? Like if I write,
what?
Here is the TV show we're about to watch. You're only going to see one the.
Yes. So your brain will autocorrect certain things. This is true. As a writer, this is true. Your brain will autocorrect certain things, especially things you've written, because you know what's supposed to be there. So if you do accidentally type the twice, your brain will skip right over that. That's why it's very important after you write something, take a second and then read it word by word, because that's you'll catch more issues that way. Whereas if you just like read it over and over again, be like, is this right? Not all mistakes, but any little mistakes like that you make, your brain just corrects it when you read it.
Did you also know that you so 12% of people dream in black and white. That's actually pretty nuts.
12%, really? That feels like a lot of people.
And did you also know that you can't tell your time or read during your dreams?
I feel like I do. Like, dreams are weird. You can't always see. I can't see faces in dreams, but I know who people are.
You ever have those dreams where you're like, oh my God, this is exactly what I want to be in my life right now? Yeah, I've been, and then you wake up. Yeah, and then you try to go back to sleep to enter it, and then you're now daydreaming.
Yeah, but it doesn't work the same. It doesn't work the same. I've absolutely done that. As a kid especially, I would play video games that I never got to have as a child in my dreams. If I wanted a game, I'd just have it in my dreams.
Did you know that if you remember a dream, it wasn't a dream, but a message?
That's not.
Right. What do you mean?
What do you mean? It's a message. No, it's not a message. It's
yes, it is. According to Scare Talk.
Well, Scare Talk is incorrect. Dream is a dream. I'm not saying dreams don't have meaning, but it's not a special message because you remembered it. It's just a dream that you remembered.
I don't know, man. I'm going with the message.
Again, I believe dreams have meaning. Dreams happen because your brain is figuring stuff out, is going, you know, taking inventory, whatever it's doing. Dreams have meaning. I agree with that, but it's not, oh, I remember this one, so there's a special message in there. No, you just happen to remember that one. That was just an accident.
Those dreams are the ones that I, with the any past significant others, those are the message ones.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one final segment, my friends. I want to talk about food again. And let us talk about the great food known as the hamburger. And I want you to name your top three favorite places to get a hamburger in the entire world. For me, this is the right one. These are the right answers to get the best burgers in the world. We'll first start in the East Village of New York City for Paul's The Joint Burger. Survived COVID, survived all other insane things. You pay in cash there. They have the one sweet old lady, I can't think of her name right now, who works it, is on East, it's on 2nd and 1st, and it's just so juicy and amazing. I love Paul's The Joint Burger. That's in New York City. That's number one. Number two is Shake Shack. I think that is the best place to get a burger out of all the fast food establishments in this world. Get the Shake Shack burger. And then number three, the best place to get a hamburger, number three, out of any of these three places are cool. But if you go here, you'll be pretty happy. And that is the great Bennigan's, rest in peace. They had some of the best burgers I've ever had, and it's no longer a restaurant anymore.
I've never had one from there.
It was so good, I couldn't
have. I've actually never had anything but Shake Shack from here, but I've also never gone to the East Village to get a burger, so that's probably why.
So, Ryan, what are your three favorite places to get a hamburger?
Sure. So, number three, I also wanted to throw my favorite fast foodie kind of one in there, which would be Five Guys. I like a Five Guys burger. It just feels a little bit more like a burger than like a regular fast food burger place. Also here in DC, that's usually what I end up getting if I get a burger. Back where I'm from originally, in Connecticut, there's a place up in Bethel, Connecticut, where I used to have family live, called, what's it called?
You're from Bethel?
Oh, no, I'm from, same as Matt, but I had family lived in Bethel. When we would go visit, we go to, what's called Sycamores is the name of the restaurant. We used to have a car show. It's like an old-timey kind of diner vibe, is like, that's the point of it, and they used a classic car show. They had a really good burger. I have a lot of memories of getting the burger there after seeing all the cars, with, you know, the big pickle spear and all that. So Sycamore's got a good burger. And then the best burger I've ever had is from a 24/7 establishment in Highland Park, New Jersey. This is true. Called the White Rose. It is open 24/7. They cook everything on that bed of onions, similar to like a White Castle burger, but it's an actual like diner. There's like only three seats inside. It's super small. It did survive COVID. Because they have a drive-through window or drive-up window. You can just order and grab it from the window and go. It's been around forever. Forever it's been around. And it is literally some of the best burgers I've ever had, ever have come at various times of the day from the White Rose. So the White Rose, Highland Park, New Jersey, that's my number one.
Good choices.
It's
All right, I
Gavon's
guess it's
turn now.
my turn, huh? For me, I'm gonna go with, I think, one of the. Oh, we're starting from three or from one? We're
I
gonna
did
one versus
three.
three.
Yeah, so did I.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with Smashburger for number three. I think those are really, really good, and I actually had the chance to go to one in France. It was like an imitation, I want to say, but it was amazing.
It was
I think the
Francais burger, smash burger.
guy, Smash
yeah,
Burger.
the
I don't know,
French
that's
guys were
not.
like, you know Smash America, you know Smash. That's what we do here. It was weird, but like, yeah, it was amazing. But like, the original Smash from here is what I would go with. But for me, for number two, I'm gonna go with Five Guys, and then number one would be Shake Shack for me. I think it's one of the first real hamburgers I've had, with the chocolate milkshake, when I came to New York.
Good selections, guys. Good selections. Well, very good episode. Everybody should be very proud. I enjoyed it, and I'm sure you enjoyed it too. So we'll be back a week from today to talk more about what's going on in this crazy world of ours. Thank you, Kevon. Thank you, Ryan, and we'll see you soon.
No problem, dude. You
Thanks,
got it.
man. Talk to you
Anytime.
later.
All right, and happy Easter if you're celebrating.